the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Exploring the Word comes on in the afternoon. You know that. You're listening at 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern, 5, what it, 2, 1, whatever it is, going west. But we're glad you're listening. And one thing we're asking you to do, we're asking you to send in some listener stories or listener testimonies. We have Share-a-thon two times a year, October the 15th, 16th, and 17th. We're having it again, and it's the fall edition. And we would love to hear your story about how AFR has helped you, encouraged you, blessed you, especially Exploring the Word. Alex and I are a little bit partial to that program for some reason, but we would love to hear you a minute or two, how you have been blessed. And you can do that by calling this number. Write it down and then pray. Try to write something out or practice saying something, and then call us 877-876-8893. 877-876-8893. This is the listener storyline, so you can just follow those directions and share what AFR has done for you. Alex, I've been tempted to call in, but I'm afraid they'd recognize my voice, brother.
Well, I think you and I both, we could go on for a long time about how much AFR and AFA means to us. And it surely is a joy as we travel the country and preach. We meet people everywhere that the Lord has used this ministry, whether it be the radio, the journal, the magazines, the events, the resources created. In so many ways, this ministry touches so many lives. And when we hear about it, we just give God the glory. But you and me both are among those lives that have been touched, aren't we?
We are. I was a long-time listener before I became a person that shared the microphone here. And so I am an avid fan. I admit that. Well, I'm also an avid fan of the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to just tell you, Alex, the more I've studied each book of the Bible, the bigger fan I become of that particular book. Like Ecclesiastes, as we're going through this, there's some things that are really touching our lives, touching my lives. And today in chapter 3, we're going to get into the most famous passage that's in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's talking about a time for every purpose under heaven. That tells us something. Life is purposeful, and Christianity, Christ, the relationship with Him, helps you to discover, and it helps you deliver on that purpose that God gave you. It's a great, great thing to know that you're born with purpose, Alex.
Well, amen, amen. And, you know, one of the very, very commonly repeated words in this is the word vanity or vanities. 37 times in the book it talks about things being vanity and life being vanity. And, of course, it's not. A life is very precious and a sacred gift, as Solomon is going to come back around to understanding. But, of course, chapter 3, 1 through 8 is really famous. It's been put in poetry. Very famously, Roger McGuinn put it in the song "Turn, Turn, Turn" by the Byrds, you know. But
right. Yep.
To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. It is very musical and poetic. And let me just read through some of this, these eight verses, because, you know, not only is this the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, it's just beautiful. It's truth, but it's presented in such a beautiful way. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That's really amazing, isn't it? The seasons of life ordained, at least permitted by God. But those eight verses kind of give the summation of the experience we all live out at one time or another in one way or another.
It does. And notice, the seasons come and the season goes. Now, we're experiencing summer weather in the fall this time. So you know what that means? And I've tried to parallel it. That means some of these seasons kind of cross over. They connect, and sometimes they combine. And I did a funeral earlier today, and I was sharing, mm-hmm. and I was saying, you know, we found out one thing. Joy and sorrow can come along at the same time. They're not exclusive all the time. Sometimes, while I am season of joy, there's also that season of sorrow. Now, what I mean by this, and I've seen it happen in families, a baby is born into that family, and it brings such joy. And during that time, a grandmother or great-grandparent is at the death door, and they're sorrow, and they come together. So when you look at this, don't look at it as exclusive seasons, but sometimes these seasons do mesh together. It'll help you in life when you understand that. And I think, Alex, it does help us to go through life and handle those seasons of difficulty that come our way.
Well, have you ever heard Dr. Dobson's story about when life trashes your trophies?
I haven't heard that one. I can't believe I've missed something, but I missed that one.
Well, it's really something. In fact, you know, he says the first place he ever shared this story was at Liberty University when he did commencement there in 1993, and that was the time that I first got to walk across the stage there and get a degree. And the man that gave the message would later be my boss. But James Dobson talks about when he was in high school, he was a tennis star, and he won all these championships, and he had left his high school, and there was a trophy case in the front lobby of the high school, and he had a lot of gold trophies in there of his athletic accomplishments. And years later, you know, he became James Dobson, and he got invited to go back and speak at his high school, and he noticed that the trophy case had all different trophies. His trophies were nowhere to be found. And he saw some people working, and he walked around back, and all of his trophies from all of his tennis championships had been thrown in a dumpster. And he said, you know, for a minute there, it, you know, hurt his feelings and made him a little bit angry that they had trashed his trophies. But he said, you know, he realized that in this world, everything ebbs and flows. You know, the athletic heroes pass on and new ones come along. And that's the way it is in anything. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 3 says, look, there's a time to live and die. The sun shines and one season of crops blossoms, and then it goes away. And the fall is a good time to think about this. And, you know, the point, I think the takeaway is that we rejoice in those things that really can't be lost. Mm. And that's our relationship with our Lord and our loved ones, the body of Christ. You know, let me say this. Think about those at church that are as close as family, and really because of the Lord, they are family. And isn't it good that the things that matter most really are the things that will never get trashed or thrown away?
Amen. The scripture that goes along with that is verse 6, a time to keep and a time to throw away. They kept some of those trophies. They threw some of them away. It reminds me of a story. I'll tell it real quickly. I don't mean to try to compete or anything with Dr. Dobson's stories, but, you know, three sons. I played basketball in high school my senior year. We were state champions, and so we were going to go back to that gymnasium, and I knew the trophy was there, that state champion trophy, you know, and I told my boys what a thrill it was, so we go up there, and we go to the trophy case to look, and we find ours. But here's what they said. Oh, is that it?
really?
Yeah, sometimes our trophies that we've done and we've seen, it doesn't mean a lot to others, you know what? And, oh, is that it? And so sometimes I got a feeling that what we think is a great accomplishment or something to be done, they're going to say, oh, is that it? And
wow.
it put me in my place. I'll put it that way, Alex. So let's go to verse 10. It said, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. Now, Alex, that is a profound verse in many ways. He's made everything beautiful in its time. It reminds me of Romans 8, 28 and 29, when it says, God takes all things and he works them for good to those who love them, the who are called to his purpose, who he has foreknown, whom he has predestined. And listen to it. What is that which is beautiful? To be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So those things that happen into our lives that are difficult and hard, and I think this is coming out of verses 1 through 8 about a time for this and a time for that,
yeah.
They add and they help us fill out who we really are, finding our purpose and fulfilling that purpose. And even if it was difficult, when it becomes that it helps us to be more like Christ, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, it is. It really is. You know, when verse 9 asks the question, what profit has the worker in that which he labors? When you're doing that thing that you've been called to do and you've been put here to do and you've been gifted to do, it is very gratifying, isn't it? And there's some work that if you did it, it would be drudgery and it would be hardship because that's not what you have a skill set for or an interest in. But when you're doing the thing that you're made to do and you're good at and God has, you know, graciously gifted you, work is not even like work. I mean, and I would say this, Bert, the primary, most essential profit in work is not the paycheck, really. Isn't it the gratification of doing something that the good Lord gave us the ability to do, and it from enriching our lives and our character to putting food on the table for our families to enabling us to give to the work of the Lord?
Amen, and Alex.
I mean, isn't work really, possibly if we're doing it right with the right heart, isn't work a type of worship?
It is, and I agree fully with that. And you know, it's when we do the work that God has called us to do, do it with all your might, do it as unto the Lord, complete the task, and there's fulfillment in that. There's that desire, I think, in most people to be fulfilled in their life's occupation. And when that doesn't happen, it's difficulty. It is drudgery. But if you are blessed, and I believe it is revealed, and God has something for you. And so, you know, pray and ask the Lord to reveal it. Now, notice what else. He also, verse 11, he has eternity. He's put eternity in their hearts.
Famous verse.
Yes, it is. Now, is this a desire that every man born on the earth, every person born, there's something more, you know? Would people say there's more to life? Have you ever heard that phrase? There's got to be more to life than this. Isn't there?
Well, there is. And let me encourage everybody, honestly, this is one of the books. It's a keeper. Eternity in Their Hearts by Don Richardson, the great missionary. And he was reading Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, God has set eternity in our hearts, everybody. It's just part of the human soul to think about eternity and to think about God. Where did I come from and where am I going? And not only think about it, but to be prepared for it.
Be prepared for eternity. Life is short, and death comes quickly. We'll be back with more right after the break.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Elaine Chao, U.S. Secretary of Transportation. Secretary Chao currently oversees matters related to transportation in the United States. Psalm 119, verse 105, reminds us of the Lord's guidance in our travels. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Elaine Chao as she oversees our country's transportation system. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
When we're saved, God gives us a new nature. But Dr. Tony Evans says something needs to happen to get that change on the inside to show on the outside. He'll tell us what it is today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to eat unpopped popcorn, but that's not going to be a very productive experience. No matter how hard you put your teeth on it, you won't change anything. But when you put the popcorn in the microwave, the heat and the radiation from the microwave heats up the moisture that's in every kernel of popcorn. So when the steam rises inside the kernel of the popcorn, it pushes against the shell. When the shell can no longer handle the pressure, you hear pop, 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 pop. An explosion occurs, bringing what's inside to reflect itself outside. You would have never thought that that kernel of corn was holding so much nice stuff hostage. The divine nature is the very life of God that's deposited into every person who comes to Jesus Christ. Grace is the microwave. And when you learn to live in grace, it heats up the moisture of the new nature so that the new nature expands in the soul so that the outside shell called the flesh has to now submit itself to the new growth that's occurred on the inside due to the influence of the grace microwave to which it has been exposed.
Learn more about how the Lord changes us from the inside out. Check out Tony's CD series, The Magnificent Grace of God, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
You know, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon has much to say about just the fleeting nature of this world, how everything kind of fleets away. And, you know, what is the meaning of all this? You know, Bert, I was reading about the drug lord Pablo Escobar, who died back in the 90s. He was a very wealthy drug lord, and he accumulated so much money that he had, like, skids of $100 bills. And every year, he would write off on his taxes the amount of money that the rats nibbled away on. He had warehouses full of money, sadly, because it was made through cocaine and drugs. But we can't think about that. I mean, I can't get my mind around having so much money that the rats would even eat some of your stacks of $100 bills. None of us will ever be like that. But you know what? Ecclesiastes says, to the rich and the poor, it all comes to a common end, that, you know, there's the work that we do, and God sees it from beginning to end. He goes on in verse 14 of chapter 3, I know that whatever God does, it, though, shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken away from it. God does it, and men should fear before him. So it's the works of God that are eternal, not the works of man, is it?
It is. And this morning in our devotion here at AFR, one of our engineers, Matt by name, sometimes engineers listening to Exploring the Word, he is talking about a devotion from Dr. Rogers. And he was talking about our money won't add anything to God's wealth because he owns everything. None of our wisdom can add anything to God because he's all-knowing. And any power we have does not add anything to God because he's omnipotent. And that verse makes you think of that, Alex. Nothing can be added to it. God is God. And we desperately need him, but he wants us, but he can operate without us very easily, can't he?
Well, he sure can. He sure can. And we go on through chapter 3. He talks about under the sun. And, you know, nearly 30 times he talks about things, quote, under the sun.
That's one of those repeated phrases. You're right.
The goings-on in this world. He says, I saw in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. And in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. So he's, you know, not happy about that. None of us would be, because we don't like injustice or inequity. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time and there's a purpose for every work. So God sees and God knows the passing of the seasons. And when we do right, God knows. And when people do wrong, God knows. And he's back to a little bit of voice of despair, because he says, for what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, in other words, death. Animals and man die. They all have one breath, verse 19. And man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. They all go to one place, back to the dust. 19 and 20, he's a little bit in that dark place of despair again.
Yeah. You know, and don't be shocked with those, and it may be yours, of what we call depression. There is spiritual depression, and we find David going through those times. You'll read some of the Psalms. So Solomon, in his, I would say, despair or depression that he's in when he writes these things, he can go back to some of his dad's writing, A Man After God's Own Heart, and he had some of those same thoughts of despair. And what do we do? What do we do when we get those? We go to God. And we can give a list, Alex. And I know we as preachers and counselors, we give a list. Do this, do this, do this. Praise the Lord when you don't feel like it. Pray and seek, go out and serve somebody. Those all do help. But I want to just tell you, sometimes, remember what we're talking about here in chapter 3, seasons of. And there's going to be seasons of difficulty in our lives. And when those difficulties come, what are we going to do with them? They'll either make us bitter or make us better. And here Solomon is really, he's expressing a heart of without a lot of hope, if any hope, Alex. And you take hope away, and what do you have? You have despair for sure, don't you?
Well, you do. And let me just say this, and we're going to get into chapter 4. And, you know, again, there's some vanities that he talks about, you know, tears and the ones that are oppressed. But let me say this. The world might forget the things you did. Even your family and your loved ones might forget sacrifices you've made. And, you know, there's the old saying, Edmund Burke, who was a leader in colonial America, he said, now listen to this, folks. He said, that which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly.
Yeah.
George Washington said, freedom will look easy by and by when nobody has to die to get it. And I think part of the reason that even nowadays people take America lightly is because I think there are a lot of people that don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears that were given, the lives sacrificed to give us America. But here's the thing. Everybody under the sun might forget what you've done or tried to do. Matthew 25:23, that those words that we all want to hear when you enter the presence of Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, those words, good and faithful. See, God knows. God knows how to welcome his servants. God knows that you were good, if indeed you are good, faithful. Those two words in Matthew 25:23, good and faithful. All right, good means what your nature is, your inherent essence, you're saved. Faithful means that you were obedient and you were industrious and you were fruitful and you trusted him. And so, Bert, if we are those things, if we're saved and serving, God won't forget, will he?
Amen. He is a rewarder of those who do good. He is. That's the thing. That's his heart. He desires. He doesn't want to withhold blessing. He wants to just bountifully give us blessing. And so serve the Lord with your labor and make it about him. The labor, yes, it's good, but the labor, yes, there's reward in the labor. We're talking about the rewards of work, but it's ultimately to bring glory to the Lord. So when you do your work and as you do it as under the Lord, Alex, it's not only purposeful, fulfilling us as a human being, fulfilling our, you know, work, but it's fulfilling as a follower of Christ that we've done it under the Lord. So in that way, it's a double blessing, brother.
Well, and God knows how to keep track of his children. I mean, he really does. Chapter 4, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. I'll look at the tears of the oppressed, for they have no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there's power, but they have no comforter. Therefore, I praised the dead that were already dead, more than the living who were alive. Solomon says, look, you know, I'd be better off dead. You know, to be out in this unjust world, it'd be better to be out there in the cemetery. Now, this is him talking, and he's expressing the despair of his heart. Yet better than both is he who never existed, verse 3. I mean, it's hard to believe such a man of God is in this low of a place. The living, the dead, be better off dead, but even better yet, wish I had never been born.
Again, despair. And when that despair comes on you, we want to share with you, we're talking to some people, Alex, who are close to where Solomon was, and they're sure. hurting, and it'd be better, people to be better off. You and I both love Jimmy Stewart as an actor. It's a Wonderful Life. Man. And you remember what man said? You're worth more dead than you are alive.
The evil Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
And let me say this. When George Bailey, he hears that voice in his head, Mr. Potter says, you know, you'd be better off dead. Let me say that. Don't ever believe that lie of Satan. Friend, whoever you are, wherever you are, and I know we have some dear brothers listening right now that are incarcerated. Wherever you are, look, your life has value. The good Lord made you. We all make mistakes. We do stuff we wish we could undo. But listen, turn to Jesus right now, where you are, as you are, whoever you are. Your life matters. Do not ever believe that lie that it'd be better if you had never been born. That's not true, is it?
It is not. And I know you said brothers, but I just want to share. We've got some, I hear from some women who are incarcerated. We heard from one years ago who just blessed our lives telling what AFR and what a difference exploring the word had made. So those of you that are incarcerated, listen, we're praying that God would do his work in your heart while you're there. The good thing I've heard them say, we're freer on the inside than we ever were on the outside. Now that meant they got their heart right. So we're praying that those of us who are outside would be set free as well, Alex, that Amen. We are at liberty in Christ Jesus, not to do what we want, but as someone said, to do what we ought. And that's the freedom that he gives us. And he goes on, the folly of hard work. Again, I saw, verse 5, again, I saw that for all toil in every skillful work a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Now, that one intrigued me, and I highlighted it because you never know what's going on behind closed doors. Now, I know that'd be a good country song. I'm joking about that. It is. But, you know, Alex, we look on the outside, and we see some people who look like they've got it all together. And then years later, I have found out some of these same people, they were in turmoil. They were hurting, and there was chaos in their lives. And so the way, regardless of what you do, that comparison of who you are to someone else, Satan can really use that to do a number on you, can he?
Absolutely. When we compare ourselves to others, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's more of a superlative than we are. And so that's a quick way to get depressed, isn't it?
It is. And that's really what he's talking about here. The folly of hard work, oppression. Mm-hmm. Depression, and it's going to move over. I'm not getting there, but I'm just letting you know we're going to get. Also, being popularity and everybody liking you, you can have that and still miss the boat.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but Josh McDowell has talked a lot about the importance of relationships. And he gave me a Mayo Clinic study, a medical study. It wasn't publicly published, but it said, you know, hardwired to connect, the case for community, because the human psyche, we are made for relationships. And, you know, cherish those, nurture those. The Bible says if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And if you want friends, as we all need friends, be a friend. But he says, I returned and I saw under the sun vanity. There's one alone without companion, neither brother nor son. And there's no end to his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Mm. Okay, somebody who's alone. And so they invest in the career. And they just work, work. And then they say, well, what am I doing this for? And then he says, you know, I'm depriving myself of good. In other words, while everybody else goes to eat dinner and have fun, I'm still burning the midnight oil. What am I doing it for? Solomon is talking about aloneness. That's a grave misfortune.
It is. You remember the demoniac of Gadara? He dwelt in the graves by himself. Isolation like that is a terrible, terrible thing. And so be friendly. We've got to get to verse 9 and a little bit following. Verse 9, there's classic verses in Ecclesiastes. You know what I mean?
Oh, we'll read on every page.
On every page. Here it is. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's called synergy.
Yeah.
You can have energy, but put two working. It's amazing what two can do that one cannot do, Alex.
Well, all the way back in Genesis 2:18. Before the fall, sin had not come along, and yet there was something less than ideal. Mm. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And you're right, I do love that verse. Two are better than one. And, you know, we could give a lot of examples of that. And let me just say to everybody listening, maybe right now you just want to, in your heart, thank God for friends. Thank God for family members. Thank God for a spouse. Thank God for a sibling. A brother and a sister, you know, thank the Lord for relationships because, you know, we have a good reward for our labor. If one falls, the other can lift him up. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, a threefold cord is not easily broken in verse 12. None of us can do this thing on our own. I mean, we need each other. And Bert, isn't it okay to admit that? I mean, we talk about rugged individualism and, you know, there's, I think movies sometimes glamorize the loner who just makes it all by himself. I'll be the first to tell you, I can't do it all by myself. Man, I need people.
Yeah, there's joy in sharing with others. Partnership is a great way. And we're real close. Let me read one or two that finish chapter 4. And here it is, and you've already read 12, about a threefold cord is not quickly. But listen to verse 13, the first part. Better is a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. Mm. I wonder if this might be a little bit of a testimony in his life at this time, Alex.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we think this was written toward the end of his life, you know? So this could be a little bit of a testimony, could it not?
Well, a king who would be admonished no more, it doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't try to criticize him, it means he wouldn't listen to it. Mm. You know, so don't ever get to the point where you're not teachable anymore.
Yeah. And so we have this Ecclesiastes. We find out he's talking about vanity and he's talking about the season. Here's what you want to take from 3 and 4. Purpose. God made you with purpose. That purpose is to be saved. That purpose is to fulfill your calling here. And when you do it, the work that you do, do it as unto the Lord. It is fulfilling, Alex. And the wealth that you have will be distributed correctly. That brings great benefit to others and yourself. Let God be a major player in your life. Matter of fact, the major player. Let's get some phone calls. That number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. From a distance, the fig leaves gave Jesus the impression that there was fruit on the tree. Upon closer inspection, the tree was fruitless. Perfect church attendance and ministry activity cannot replace actual Christ-like fruit produced in our lives. From a distance, it can appear as though we're bearing fruit, but what would we find with a closer look? Are we content with fruitful appearance, or do we yearn for the real thing?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Ever wonder why big cities are in trouble? San Francisco is dealing with skyrocketing crime by ignoring the problem and changing words. The Board of Supervisors stopped using words like offender. They decreed there'll be no more convicted felons and ex-cons will be called justice-involved individuals. They do well to listen to the Bible that says you can't whitewash sins and get by with it. You find mercy by admitting and leaving them. Changing what we call sin won't fix the problem. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
This great nation will endure as it has endured.
For thousands of people experiencing the Great Depression of the late 20s and 30s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was thought to be one of the most trusted voices in America. And on October 6, 1935, FDR brought the nation's attention to what he called an event of great significance.
The event to which he referred was the 400th anniversary of the printing of the first complete English Bible in 1535.
It would be difficult to appraise the far-reaching influence of this work upon the speech, literature, moral, and religious character of our people and their institutions. It continues to hold its supreme place as the Book of Books. I commend its thoughtful and reverent reading to all our people.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I know the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear. I know my help and where it comes from. Jesus, He is the answer.
Amen. And that's what we want to do here on Exploring the Word. Regardless of what else we do, we want to make much of Jesus. Alex, you've said that before. I've gone to pulpits to preach for someone when they were gone doing something, and the pastor would leave a note, make much of Jesus. That's Amen. About as good as advice as I could give in preaching.
Amen. And folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We'd love to have your calls and Bible questions, and we will do our best to give a biblical answer.
Amen. Well, let's go to the phone lines and go to Illinois and talk to Linda. Linda, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all you do. My little dilemma is that we go to an older mainline denomination church, and our granddaughter will be 7, and she has the gift of music, and she is very willing to sing a special once in a while at church. But our minister and the music person looks at that as a performance instead of part of leading the service. And they don't believe that we should be performing if we're not part of the leadership up front. We feel like that she's willing to do it. She's said herself that music, she loves music, and it brings it. She loves doing Jesus music the most, the closest to her heart. She does great on memorization, and we love her instilling those words into her brain and into her heart. So how do you feel like it? Should we have people sing specials at church or not?
Linda, thank you for calling. Alex, we've been in that with worship wars and everything. I'm a guy that there are some songs that do not sound good sung with a congregation or a choir. They're sung by one person, and it's not entertainment. It's glory to God, and I make no bones about it. I think if they're up there and they're performing, God will take care of that. But a good solo. I would say George Beverly Shea hit the ball out of the park at Billy Graham Crusades, wouldn't you?
I would too. And, you know, the Bible talks about God giving gifts to the body. You know, I think about it in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. Throughout the ranks of the believers, God gives gifts for the edification of the body. And when some people have musical gifts, it's not a performance or an ego thing. I mean, it ministers to the body and it prepares all of our hearts for worship. And, you know, I often talk about, like, if somebody sings right before I preach, they've kind of set the table for the opening of the words. So, you know, I would hope that they would maybe give that a second chance, because I suspect by her bringing her musical gifts, it would be a great blessing to the body and to the worship hour. So I hope the door will open for her to be used.
I do too. Let the little children come and let them sing unto the Lord. It's like those that only sing old songs and won't sing some of the new ones, and there's some churches that sing only the new ones and won't sing the old ones. Both of them are wrong. I'm not going to soft pedal that, Alex. Listen, all those old songs was new at one time. And
that's true. That's very true.
So anyway, God, I don't know about you, it said, and I feel like he took me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and put a new song in my heart. And I know, but he could have used other words besides a new song, but he chose to use that one. Anyway, I'm going to crawl off my soapbox. Is that all right, Alex?
Well, both of us have pastored, and, you know, I think it's a joy to open up the worship to opportunities for the congregation to be involved.
Linda, you've heard our thoughts on it, and we pray that your granddaughter could just bless the Lord and bless others as she blesses the Lord with her music. Thank you. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Justin. Justin, welcome.
Hey, I just want to first off thank y'all for what you do for the kingdom of God, and I've got a question for you, and really something more so that I hope y'all can just raise in prayer. I have a real good friend that he's basically a brother to me, and he's in a bad situation right now with his wife, where she's trying to cut him off from his family. He was in position to take over the family farm, and she knew that going into the marriage, and after they got married, she's trying to control him, and he's quit his job working with the family. And now she's just trying to shut him off completely from his family. And I just kind of wanted to get y'all's take on what he should do. I mean, he's like me. He doesn't believe in divorce, and they're both professing Christians, but you kind of doubt her salvation, the way that she's doing things, and she's being really abusive to him verbally, and just kind of wanted to get y'all's take on what you thought he can do and on the situation, and really just pray for him, honestly, because I know y'all know as well as I do that we serve a God that works miracles, and his wife needs a heart change.
Amen. Alex, I don't know if we got answers, but we've got prayers, don't we, for that?
We do.
It's hard. I just feel like we should pray. I don't have a lot of advice. Stay with that marriage. Stay with it. But I understand the turmoil. But God can change your heart. Let's pray. Would you lead us?
Yes. Father, we lift up this situation. Bless this man for calling in. And Lord, for the husband and wife that are in this turmoil over career and family farm and just what we do with our time, Lord, we don't know the whole situation, but we lift it up to you and we ask that you would put that marriage on solid biblical ground, put that relationship on the solid ground of being led by the Holy Spirit. And where there's fault on either side, both sides, Lord, may the Spirit of God make this couple aware of where they need to change, where they need to relinquish their attitude and their actions to Jesus. We lift this couple up, and we ask in the name of Jesus for a great victory and a healing and really a straightening out of this relationship for your glory and according to your will and purposes. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Justin, those of you that keep a prayer list, and I keep mine. I write these names down, and I put a star or something by to pray. And so I'm going to pray for your friend and his wife. And I pray that a lot of folks who are listening would do that. God can do amazing things. He can intervene, and we're trusting him to do so. Thank you, Justin. Let's go to Texas and talk to Ed. Ed, welcome.
Yeah?
Go ahead, Ed.
Am I on here?
Yes, you are. Go right ahead. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm an Orthodox Jew, born and raised in Chicago. But I've learned over the years, I love the teachings of Jesus. I think he's wonderful. I think the New Testament's wonderful. I've been raised with a lot of hate. Being from Chicago, I had a lot of anti-Semitism. And I'm watching through the years, and I'm a pretty old person now. I'm watching the hate in the politics today. Even the people that are claimed to be a Christian, they hate this, hate that, hate this, hate those guys, hate those guys. I mean, how in the world is a Jew supposed to become a Christian Jew?
Okay. Ed, thank you. I want to say two things, and I want Alex to talk to you, but one of my very best friends is Jewish, who came to Jesus Christ. And he came because he started looking at what Judaism had and they did not have. And he found in Christ, let me use this word, Ed, as plainly as I can, the completion of. In other words, Judaism could only take a person so far, but in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and I know there's some Christians out there that are not living a life that is filled with love, but there are some of us. We love the people, the Jewish people. We love others, and we even love those that stand against us. Alex, Ed, we're praying for him, but share with Ed for a moment.
Well, Ed, I want to say for one thing, I'm just so honored that you would be listening to the show, and it is a great privilege to know that you're listening and to call in. And I agree with you. Many that profess to be Christian don't live very Christ-like lives. But I would ask you, dear friend, in fact, I'd beg you to open your heart to Yeshua, Jesus, who fulfilled all of the prophecies. And Jesus is, you know, Isaiah 49 talks about the Redeemer of Israel is the light to the Gentiles. So Jew and Gentile share the same Messiah. And, you know, one thing that is the fulfillment, you know, he was born in Bethlehem and had no sin nature, and he was that Passover lamb. And what you do, all Jew and Gentile alike, we admit that we're a sinner. We say, Lord, I do believe, I put my trust in you. And Habakkuk in the Old Testament says that we come and we're justified by faith. And so I would urge you to put your faith in who he was and what he did. And Ed, when he was nailed to that cross, so, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, he did it for the world, but Jesus did it for you, Ed, and for me. He fulfilled, you know, I think about the feast, the Levitical feast, which the word feast really means appointed times. There was Passover, and Jesus was that Passover lamb. There was unleavened bread, and Jesus had no leaven. He had no sin. There was first fruits, and that pointed to Messiah's resurrection. There was Pentecost, 50 days after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Jesus, you know, he is our Pentecost. And the Feast of Trumpets, which really speaks to his return and the rapture and atonement, Yom Kippur, how Jesus' blood was the lamb's blood that would be the final sacrifice. And the final thing I would say in Leviticus 23 is the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And this points to God's promise that he will tabernacle with his people. Now, why I'm saying all this is, look, the like Simeon, who longed for the consolation of Israel, Jesus is that all in all, and there is no other. And my dear friend, I would beg of you today, and it doesn't mean you've compromised your Jewish identity. Far from it. You've actually become the most Jewish you'll ever be is the day that you receive Yeshua, the Messiah, into your life. And if we could get your info, it would be my honor. I'll send you one of the books I've written. But we're praying, and I would just encourage you, Ed, today, call on the name of Jesus and be saved.
Yes, Ed, let me add one thing, and it's similar to what Alex was saying. Again, my friend, Jewish friend, his mother came to Christ later on in his life. She was talking about being older. She came to Christ. And what it was all those Old Testament, a lot of it was those Old Testament prophecies concerning Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled them all. And the ones that are not fulfilled, they will be fulfilled one day. But over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament and them being completed in Him. And that's what I'm saying, and Ed and Alex has said it so well. You're not compromising, you're completing. Jesus said, I came not to do away with the law, but I came to fill the law. I came to fill it full. And so we're praying for you. I want to pray for you right now, Ed, and I pray everybody would, because I can hear your searching heart. And we want you to know Yeshua as Messiah. Father, thank you for Ed calling. God, we're overwhelmed that people would listen and hear about Jesus, and they would have confidence enough in Alex and myself to call and say, what about this? And Father, our answer is that in Jesus Christ, we are completed. There's purpose added to our life. There's joy added. There's peace that comes that passes all understanding. And I pray for Ed today that he would be fulfilled in Christ, that, yes, he would be that Orthodox Jew that completed the journey into Jesus Christ. And in him alone, Jesus alone can do this. And we pray this and believe this in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Ed, thank you, man. I think Randy's trying to get all that information, and we're trying to get that for you and help do that. We're not going to have time to go any further, caller. So you who are called and were held, tomorrow is Fire Away Friday. So call us back. We'd love to hear from you. We just don't have time when we're less than 2 minutes. Hard to get those questions and answers in that short of time. Alex,
yes.
We're just praying for Ed, but I want to know how it was in Wilmington. I know you were there and finished up last night. Was it great?
It was great. And how I thank Pastor Bill Smith and Burgaw Baptist and all the different people down there. I saw Roy Smith, the director of missions, and my dear friend Herb McCarthy, who for 18 years was one of the leaders of the Billy Graham ministry. And we have so many listeners. People came up to me. Some people drove 2 hours. They hear us on the radio, 90.1 down there in the eastern part of the state. And to all the people that came forward to pray, and there were a lot of young people there, we give God the glory for the work he's doing in Wilmington. And Bert, let me just say, in Romans 10:1, Paul said that his heart's desire and prayer to God was that Israel would be saved. Ed, true Christians love the Jewish people, and we love you. And we pray for people everywhere, especially the precious Jewish people, that they would come to Jesus.
We do. Keep Ed in your prayers. Pray for Justin and his friend and his wife. So, man, you know, today on this last segment was kind of like prayer meeting at church, wasn't it?
I started to say, having church on a Thursday afternoon.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. And we'll be back tomorrow with Fire Away Friday. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.